Welcome back to Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Abrisco with you for one more hour. We can talk about some KU things here with our friend Scott Chasen of 24/7 Sports and Fog.net. Last week at this time, I was recovering from Snoop Dogg and Allen Fieldhouse. My sensibilities were destroyed. My view of what is good and pure in this world were shaken and never to be restabilized. I'm not sure if I've fully recovered a week later. Scott, have you been able to pull back the individual pieces of what you believe to be right and wrong and pure in college sports, or did Snoop Dogg take that away from you forever?
Well, Josh, in your case, I believe the side effects of marijuana have been well documented by a number of different places. But no, I have fully recovered.
Okay.
I would say from the Snoop Dogg experience, you know, it's funny. At the time, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen a basketball play. Like, it was, it still is, for the record. It was a cool moment. It was awesome. It was a great performance, more than a moment, obviously. And look, I've talked to a bunch of recruits since then. None of them were scarred or,
No.
One of them did have to have a very awkward conversation with his parents in a car ride home.
Other than that,
it was a 2022 kid, so he's like a sophomore in high school. But other than that. No, it went as well as could be as expected. I wish KU would have leaned into it a little bit more.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, there are a bunch of things in there that we won't spend the next 30 minutes talking about Snoop Dogg, but I did think that some of the responses from Jeff Long immediately afterwards and the way that Self talked about it in the postgame thing was felt fine, because what's he gonna say? But the statement that immediately followed it felt really weak to me. Like, oh God, I mean, literally the acrobatic dancer thing. That feels like a meme. Like, that feels like a stereotype that someone would attribute to someone like Jeff Long. And he actually said it, Scott.
Yeah, well, look, here's the thing. And he made a similar joke, but it was a joke this time about, like, edible arrangements. When someone sent him one before, he called it edibles or something.
Yes.
It was a whole ordeal.
Yes.
But, look, how these stories work. Snoop Dogg does Snoop Dogg concert at Allen Fieldhouse is not a story that ends up on CNN. It's not a story that ends up on Fox News. It's not a story that ends up, you know, at Time. Mm-hmm. It's a story that is a big sports story, and it gets covered because it's a little racy, whatever. But if you notice from all those athletes that cover, all those outlets that covered it, what they covered was the apology. They covered University of Kansas apologizes. And look, I'm not a PR expert. Now, I do have a master's degree in digital content strategy, so I kind of am a PR expert.
Yeah, you 100% are, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, so this would be the opposite of, like, everything we've learned ever. And obviously, I know reality is not going to always match that. But
sure.
Look, the fact of the matter is, you brought Snoop Dogg in. You put the Snoop Dogg concert last. So you were admitting that,
yes,
hey, you can leave if you don't think it's appropriate for your kids. You were acknowledging the risk. That I agree, you know, Bill Self, I think, was within his bounds to say, hey, we didn't know he was going to do this. And if you've done any research, and by research I mean Google Snoop Dogg money gun, mm-hmm, you would see that he's done it before.
Right.
So I don't believe Bill Self said, hey, you remember when you did the money gun at your last concert? Come and bring that back. I think it's just more likely that Snoop Dogg does a thing at all his concerts, and he did that thing he does at all his concerts at his next concert. However, and so along those lines, I do think, again, Bill Self was right to say, guys, I have nothing to do with it, and it's fair. I don't think Bill Self got Lil Yachty to come in. I don't think he got 2 Chainz to come in.
Right.
Again, the statement to me, unnecessary. It made it a joke. It made the whole thing ridiculous. And then the line about not understanding what acrobatic dancers is, like,
brutal.
There's no coming back from that. It,
no.
It is. It's instant meme, and it's a quality meme.
Yes, it is. Right. If it would have been a joke from Jeff Long, if that would have felt tongue-in-cheek, I would be saying that he was a PR god right now. It would have been like, it would have been perfect comedic writing. It would have been an SNL skit. Where do they go from here? Like, next year, are they going to bring in like a gospel choir, or are they just going to maybe the girl who was knitting in the stands, the football game last week, or do they just go ahead and burn down Allen Fieldhouse with pyrotechnics and hip hop?
So, Josh, are you familiar with the concept of a milkshake duck?
I don't. It feels like something that I should be. I'm not sure if I am. Let's assume that no one listening is.
So it's a Twitter concept that came out where the joke being that you basically, it's like, I think it came from Ken Bone, who was like at one of the debate things, he asked a question in like the presidential election. And the point is, you learn about these people and they're funny. Milkshake Duck is a duck that drinks milkshakes. How adorable. Uh-huh. And then you find out later that Milkshake Duck was a racist. So
yes,
it's kind of this.
It was a pixelated boat tweet, which is an excellent, bizarre Twitter account. That's where that tweet originated from. Excellent. Okay, yes, got it. Thank you. This is where your master's degree comes in.
It's funny because the knitting girl was the opposite of that. Like,
yes.
It was like, you should say the athletic profile of her, and it's like, oh, it turns out she's like the best human being in the history of the world.
Yes.
So I do think that disqualifies her from being the late night performer.
Okay.
No, I don't know who they'll get. My guess is they'll just go back to the kind of, I'm not calling 2 Chainz mediocre, but mediocre rap artist kind of era and just pick someone who's not like a total legend and rock star like Snoop Dogg. Because at the end of the day, like, other places are bringing in other rappers. And if KU could get Future or Ty Dolla $ign, who I could not name one song from, or Post Malone, like, it's
Post Malone's
be a
too
deal.
Big. Post Malone is way too big.
Bigger than Snoop? I don't know.
No, not bigger than Snoop, but bigger than the other guys you just mentioned.
Okay, so then whoever they could go out and get, I think, like, I still think they're going to do it, and I think it'd be a mistake not to.
Yeah.
And again, like, extenuating circumstances on this one because the money gun shot at players and recruits. It was fake money, but
it was Snoop money. There were Snoop dollars.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate look, but again, if you Google Snoop, like, he does it at other things. So this wasn't like he brought it out for Kansas. They crafted a money gun in the engineering department to stick it to the NCAA. Although, again, that would have been a heck of a story. I would have loved them to do that one. And for the record, though, I still think they should have leaned into it and said, basically, hey, it got a little racier than we thought it was, but it was a Snoop Dogg concert. We moved it to the end. You know, deal with it.
Yeah, that's what I would have enjoyed, and it clearly didn't happen. What's the second most interesting thing that's happened around Kansas recently? Because, man, there are, like, we're starting with Snoop Dogg because it's funny, but there are two really meaty stories happening, one just surrounding the entire basketball program, and then over on the football side of things, they just fired their offensive coordinator, elevated a dude from the inside, and, I mean, I don't know what to make of either of those things at this point.
Yeah, well, normally football would be the boring thing, right? But it's funny because what you're about to get to watch is what happens if someone in this generation, like I'm talking like millennial, KU's offensive coordinator is a millennial. That could be the story of the day here. It's a mid-30s guy, Brent Dierman, who has no Division I coordinator or even coaching experience. He's been an analyst at Auburn in Kansas, but he coached at Bethel, the NAIA school, and originally when I looked it up, I couldn't find a record of him because I was on the wrong Bethel, so it's the other Bethel.
He coached at other Bethel.
Other Bethel, but in the 1 year he did, they averaged 55 points a game and led the highest scoring offense in the nation at any level. And you look before that, he was at Arkansas Tech, which, do you know their mascot, by the way?
No, I'm imagining one of the Arkansas like pigs, but just with like glasses on.
So close. They're the Wonder Boys.
Get out of here.
I don't know what that is, but
get out.
No, but so when he's there, I think their first year they have like a 350% increase in rushing. His second year, their starting quarterback goes down. He's starting a receiver at quarterback, and they put up 40 points in like half their games the rest of the year. And then in the final year, they average 40 points a game and have like an academic D2 All-American quarterback. So basically, this guy's only had a few stops, but everywhere he's been, it's been like, what's going on? This is weirdly successful and everything works. And this is a guy who actually wrote a book on the RPO. So, like, he literally wrote a book on it. He has, like, a video series online if you want to, like, learn offenses. He's kind of, like, a genius, and he gave his first press conference, and his personality kind of matches the wit that you would expect. He was sarcastic. He was funny. I mean, he told a story about a nasty hit he took in his football career that opened up, as he called it, a mouth under his mouth.
I hate that. So there are a couple of articles up at fog.net right now that talk about Dierman. There's a whole film room from Michael Swain who we've talked to around here many times over. I hate the gash under his mouth story so much. You can read the article that Scott wrote up on fog.net right now. You can tell that story, and I'm just gonna like hold my headphones kind of farther away from my ears than usual.
Oh, because it's so gross.
Yeah, I hate it.
Well, the funny part is when he starts telling the story, he goes, you know, I was actually diagnosed with a very rare disease. And I think we all were like, oh, what? And he's like, I can't jump very high and I'm not fast. And it was, you know.
It's so good.
And so obviously good. We all suffer from that one. But so basically the gist of the story, I will save you the gory details, but he was running for a first down in the playoff game. And he didn't want to slide because there was this giant D-tackle bearing down on him, and he felt like if he slid, he would just get hit by that guy. So he dove head first. The guy behind him basically speared his head into the ground, and it opened up a hole under his lip. And the long story short is it took 36 stitches to close. He showed us pictures of it. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. At halftime, he was trying to wash it out by gargling water, and he couldn't gargle the water because it – would just go out the giant hole. And it's the most disgusting thing ever. That's the end of the story. You can pull your car out of a ditch if you bailed out, and I apologize, but yeah, it's a horrifying story. But anyway, he stayed in the game, and I think the moral of the story is that he is a through and through football guy. So I don't know what to make of that, but he's really smart, and he's the type of guy that people rally around, that type of a leader. So I think it's an interesting hire. It's, again, kind of like what would happen if someone who grew up on analytics and Madden and all that stuff played quarterback. We're going to get to see that.
I have a serious, like, legit follow-up to that, but the more important question is, do you have a copy of the picture?
I don't have a copy of it. He showed us on his phone, and okay. it was really, I mean, it's the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Because, like, here's the thing, Scott. Scott Chasen of Fog.net, 247sports.com. Here's the thing, Scott. I hated every second of that story, and I hated reading about it, and I also want to see the picture. So if you could just next week, whenever you get a chance to talk to him, I don't know how KU does all of its availability, whenever you get a chance, you'd be like, hey, could you just read him your phone number? So, like, hey, could you text? Or you can read him my phone number. Just tell him to text me that. Oh, can you imagine seeing that completely unprepared also? Oh, never mind. I take it back. I don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. I will do that on the next chance we get to him, which, if memory serves, is National Signing Day. So next year.
Perfect. That would be great. I would appreciate that very much. Here's the thing that is sort of surprising to me in the way that you described them just then. And I will – honestly, this is the most interesting thing that's happened around KU football since they hired Les Miles to me, because this is – like what you just said – you know, through and through football guy. Whenever you say through and through football guy, and you're not considering Brent Dierman here, football guy to me is Ed Ogeron, who talks like a swamp monster and drinks 14 Red Bulls a day, or it's the new Washington coach who wants to run the ball 97 times a game and thinks that if you run the ball more, you're going to win more National Football League football games. Those are football guys. For me, the fact that you can say, like, yeah, Dierman's a football guy who also, like, grew up in this Madden analytics future thinking generation is so interesting to me, because that is such a – there are such a small number of those guys with jobs in the NFL or in Division I college football that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, and look, he's still a guy that wants to run the ball. His dad was a football coach, I believe an O-line coach, and even though he played quarterback, he joked that he wasn't allowed at Thanksgiving if he didn't know all the schemes the offensive line was running, and same thing. He said he wants to run the ball, establish the run. One thing I found interesting on the Miles to Go, like, ESPN Plus series about the KU football team, he, like, his first interaction with Puka Williams, he walks up to him and, like, says, hey, we're going to find a way to get you the ball on the edge, which, like, for anyone who's watched KU football, like, one of the biggest questions has been, like, why does Kansas think the right answer with your 5'11 star running back is to run him in between the tackles mm-hmm. into a box of nine guys? And the fact that he was able to identify that, I mean, the fact that that's the first thing he said made it so glaring, I guess, that the Les Kenning hire shouldn't have happened. By the way, side note, I checked into my hotel, and that's why I was, like, a minute late getting on the phone with you here. I am wondering how thin the walls are, because the people next to me probably hate me.
I mean, it's 5:15. Like, you're, I mean, are the people next to you, like, KU boosters who are being reminded of how much this firing cost them?
That's a great point. I should check. It's funny, though, because I'm actually down in SEC country now, but thanks for asking, by the way. I'm running a half marathon. I appreciate you asking what I was
doing. Oh, is that this weekend?
It is this weekend.
Oh, I didn't. I remember that you're running a half marathon, and I actually, here's a peek behind the curtain. I texted Scott and Swain at the same time. I was like, hey, either you guys want to chat today on 810? And you responded, so I legit had the thought of like, oh, he must not be doing the half marathon this weekend. That must be later.
Yeah.
Where did you go? Where are you in SEC country?
I'm in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
I think you're actually scouting the Arkansas Tech Wonder Boys. I think that's what you're doing.
Yes, that. Well, I wanted to make a side stop and check out some games and some stuff out here. But no, it's funny. You texted us both. We're both on vacation because it's the bye week. So you know, just doing whatever. That's honestly, it's a great time to just catch up with you. I'm sure all our listeners care. How are you doing? What's up with you?
I'm great. Last weekend, I went to the Renaissance Festival. This week's been a lot of interesting Chiefs stuff. Mm-hmm. Sunday night football game last week, obviously, added it all. But today, we're back at a noon game tomorrow.
Wow.
I'm here now. So, yeah, I'm doing pretty good, actually.
How's the job?
Oh, it's terrible. What? I'm doing it, Scott. I'm doing the job now.
Oh, okay. I forgot. Sorry.
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Great question. I don't remember. What did I have? Oh, I was going for a run, so I just had a Clif Bar.
We were talking earlier about candies. I'm going to ask you, you're not going to get to avoid talking about non-Snoop Dogg related institutional control in the basketball program, because I do feel like someone probably cares about that within our listening audience at the moment. We were talking about Halloween candy earlier, because I re-found an old 538 article sort of power ranking candies. Do you agree with my assertion that a Snickers is basically a sexier Clif Bar?
No, Clif Bars are awful and taste bad, and that's as someone who eats them. I hope they're not a sponsor, side note, but no, Snickers are good.
Interview with Scott Chasen is brought to you by Clif. Dang it. Man, that's a real bummer.
Was brought to you by Clif.
It was.
But no, Snickers are good. Now, where do you fall on the candy corn spectrum? Because that's kind of the most important debate. I love candy corn.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not too much. I like it once every 7 months.
So are you also eating it in, like, March?
That's a good question.
You said 7 months.
Months on average.
You said seven months. Like, I wasn't going to ask about it.
No. Okay. Like twice a year, like once at the beginning of September, once at the end of October, and then you forget about it for 10 months.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't hate it. I don't seek it out. I probably won't buy any. Like, this is the first full calendar year that I've lived by myself, and so no one else is going to buy candy corn for me. No one's going to just have candy corn out in the house, because I'm certainly not going to do it. So if a bag of candy corn showed up here at 810, just like on one of the fair game snack tables, I would probably take a small handful.
Okay, so
but I'm not going to buy.
What's going to happen is I'm just going to ship candy corn to your house, or I'm going to go to, like, the producers of candy corn and play them this segment, and they're going to be fired up and sponsor your show, the Candy Corn Hotline.
I would be – listen, here's what I would say, is if it can be one of the candy corn producers that have the brown bottom of the candy corn instead of it being yellow at the bottom of the candy corn.
Absolutely not.
Really?
No, it's bad. It's awful. Here's what you're doing, and this is such a you thing to do.
Yeah.
It's like you're taking a good thing
that's
kind of crazy, though, and like far out there and gimmicky. The football equivalent of this is being like, what if we did a flea flicker but added a hook and ladder on the end of it? And
exactly.
That is the most Josh Briscoe thing in the world to do to candy.
That's 100% true. That's exactly what I want in my life. I want my candy and my football to basically be NFL Street 2 style. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, man.
Best candy and most overrated candy then. And then I'm going to ask you about KU basketball.
Okay. Most overrated is Twix, because I haven't had one in a decade and my life has not suffered 1% for it.
Okay.
And the best is M&M's, the versatility. M&M's are always good. You can put them in ice cream. You can put them in that. You can eat them. You can put them in cereal bowl and put them in milk. I don't know. You can try it.
You can wait. Have you put M&M's in your cereal before?
I'm going to try that now. It sounds amazing.
I mean, it probably is, but what a weird... Regular M&M's are like the quintessential fine candy. Twix are great. This is... Oh, my God. If you want to get Scott's way better takes, his sports takes are excellent. You can follow him on Twitter at Chasen Scott. His food takes are a nightmare, and his music takes really fluctuate. It depends on how much you love Halsey.
That is accurate. Don't ask me about pizza, though. That one's been tried and true, and I did not live up to the task on that one.
About pizza?
You remember the pizza draft that was disastrous?
Oh, my. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you've got some horrifying food takes. I would say, Scott, that you have a lack of institutional control in your food opinions, and it seems like that might be going around right now. I'm going to put you on probation, I'm going to say. One more food take, and I'm going to have to stop asking you. One more bad food take, and I'm going to stop having to stop asking you for more food takes. But institutional control is my ham-handed way of segueing back to KU basketball. What do we know at this point? Like, because I ask this genuinely and not just in the way that's like, hey, Scott, tell the world what we know. I'm not sure I know what we know at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone actually does. The NCAA basically came, and for anyone, I'm sure everyone's been following this, but they handed KU a notice of allegations with 5 level 1 violations and 2 level 2 violations that honestly just seemed like kind of add-on to this. It was something that was already self-reported by the KU football program. So I think the biggest thing is the lack of institutional control charge against, obviously, KU coach Bill Self. Obviously, those level one charges are relating to Adidas, the FBI's investigation into college basketball, what came out from that, and then the NCAA trying to come back and regulate it. I don't think we know at this point because Bill Self has kind of talked about maybe this process could go into late spring or maybe even into summer, just in terms of KU responding and then the NCAA making a ruling. And you'd have to imagine there are going to be appeals on top of that. And look, I don't know that we know much. I think we know that the NCAA is trying to swing the hammer or throw the book at Kansas. I don't, pick whatever phrase you want. They're trying to make this as big a deal and as serious as possible. And I think Kansas is going to come back and say, these people testified under oath that they went out of their way to hide this information from us. So how can you then turn around and put that on us? I think that'll be Kansas's response. It'll be interesting to see what this new kind of committee that's formed rules, but anything's in play. I mean, a postseason ban in theory is in play. Probation for a long time is in play. Loss of scholarships is in play. And we don't know at this point, I mean, anything, like,
yeah.
How far do they want to go? What would KU bargain with if they came back and it was, light punishments? Would KU just say, okay, like, we're not going to mess with this? Or at the end of the day, Bill Self's stance is that no one on the current team is affected by this at all. And he's including Silvio De Sousa because the allegations surround his guardian and not De Sousa himself. And so he looks at that and says, hey, we're going to play out the season. I'm going to be more motivated to coach. This is not going to be a distraction. I don't know how it isn't a little bit of a distraction, but again, it seems like something. He's optimistic it could get worked out by the spring or summer. I think this thing is going to take years. Like I think we're talking about multiple years before we know anything for sure.
That's really interesting. It kind of undercuts what my next question was going to be, but I'm going to sort of float it anyway. And there are obviously like extremes on either side of this. I'm asking you within the realm of what you would personally consider to be plausible outcomes. What's kind of a best case scenario, worst case scenario? Again, like. The worst case scenario is that the program gets nuked, and the best case scenario for Kansas is that nothing gets handed down. But like within what you would say you've learned about the NCAA over the last few years of similar things, even with all the questions you've laid out with the years and the appeals and the new committee and all of that, what are the realistic edges of this look like where you're standing right now today?
Yeah, I think the worst-case scenario, obviously, punishment-wise, whatever the worst punishments are, if it's loss of scholarship, Bill Self gets a year suspension or whatever is the maximum they can do. Like, that's obviously the worst case in that regard, but I think a lot of this is tied to the public eye. And look, Kansas basketball is going to be Kansas basketball. It's going to stand after this happens. Kansas, I think, missed the tournament after winning the championship in 88 because Larry Brown and because of some violations from that era. And I mean, all they've done since then is make the NCAA tournament every year and, go to a bunch of Final Fours and win a national championship and still be, you know, one of the best five programs in the country. So I think the worst thing that could happen would be that throughout the process that fan support and specifically the public eye really sours locally with regard to Kansas in this, because I at least my sense is right now they still have the full support of the program or the full support of not only the administration and those in the program, but also, like, fans are pretty fired up and mm-hmm. rallied behind the idea of the big bad NCAA unfairly targeting KU and all these things. And that's why I think, like, the apology, the Snoop Dogg thing was such a misstep.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the first line of, like, going back and saying, uh-oh, like, we did this wrong, our bad, we put you guys in a bad position. Where, you know, that happens a few times. All of a sudden, people start to ask questions about the people in charge and about the leadership. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not calling for Jeff Long's head. I think Jeff Long's a fine athletic director. He's done just about, I'm not going to say he's been flawless, but he's done the things he's needed to do, including, you know, I don't know where this decision comes from, but for KU to fire its offensive coordinator in football, mm-hmm. you know, you need to be able to pay that buyout. You need to be able to raise money. That's a conversation that multiple people affect. I give credit to Jeff Long, as I would for the entire administration, because it needed to be done. So, again, I'm not burying Jeff Long by any means, but I am saying I think that's kind of your worst case is this kind of local support that has loved and supported this program in Lawrence for a long time, that some of that starts to wane and fade. That coupled with a bad ruling would be really tough for a lot of the people in that office, you know, in the administration up there. And, you know, I don't think fan support is ever going to really sour on Bill Self, but it may be a case where, you know, there isn't much of a choice with what they have to do.
That's really interesting within the public perception thing because of, again, just sort of the status quo of Kansas basketball fans. Like, the idea of there being some grand turn against Bill Self feels almost comical to me. But
yeah, that one's not probably not going to happen, but I think the administration definitely.
Yeah.
It could.
That's a good call. Yeah, I mean, if you go administration and boosters, that is a different, that's, you know, that's a good point. Like, that seems more plausible. To me, the thing that's interesting, where, again, you touched on this with the Snoop Dogg apology, which is also hilarious. That's a real thing we're talking about. Like, the idea of just villainize the NCAA at every turn, because I'm not a KU alum or booster or admin or any of that. But man, for me, this started with Mizzou locally. Like, the decisions the NCAA has made in all sorts of different circumstances for what they decide to discipline and what they don't. As a neutral observer who, like, my bias is just towards, I guess, wanting the local teams to be good and interesting, I've been left so annoyed by the NCAA at so many different turns. Why not try to make everybody as annoyed with them as I am? Why not let that just be the thing that you pound over and over and over again, and anything the NCAA does, that's the bad guy. We're just another one of those teams that's being jerked around by an organization that doesn't have any control over its teams.
Yeah, that's a tremendous, and you've just given me the idea for the performer at Late Night next year.
I'm ready.
Billie Eilish.
And just bad guy 12 times.
Yeah, that's literally all that happens. Is, like, she comes out wearing an NCAA shirt and that guy, and then leaves after one song.
That could be excellent. Listen, if you can just get me a picture of that horrifying gash from the new offensive coordinator, and if you want to go ahead and pitch us as a package deal to take over KU's PR department, I think I could pick up some hours on the side as a part-time gig.
It's pitching us, you and me, because quite frankly, I don't think I want that job right now.
That's fine. You can just tell them that I have a strategy that I've already laid out on the radio. They can just steal if they want, and now I'm not getting any extra money for it.
Okay, we'll say they have to pay to listen. We'll tell them it's like a subscription model deal. It's brilliant.
That's perfect. Thanks, Scott.
All right, thanks.
And Scott Chase at 247sports.com, specifically fog.net for the KU coverage. They got a deal going on fog.net right now if you want to make sure you're getting all the best coverage around this Kansas program, basketball, football, both of them. And you can follow them on Twitter at Chase and Scott. A must follow if you're interested in keeping up with KU sports and really just all sorts of stuff. Always good to talk to Scott and catch up with him. Whenever we come back here on Sports Saturday, we'll give you a little bit of a baseball update. We'll look around college football. We're going to talk about whatever's left over from that conversation. Whatever it is, we'll figure out during this commercial break here on Sports Radio 810.